Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. It says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Welcome aboard the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. We don't worry about the cost. It's our freedom, damn it. Freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. You know I am getting better at it. I'm still not a professional, but I'm getting better. So get off me. Anyway, we have a lot to get through here tonight, and you know I never shut up. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. And there's only one way to combat that, and that is to lift our jib and get our freedom ship underway. Yeah, there we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors! All right, now, before we get too far out to sea here, I've got a new Facebook account for the show. It only took me 2 years. What the hell took me so long? I don't know. I didn't invent me. Well, it's called The Captain. Just type in The Captain and look for news personality. I've also put the link in the chat room, so all you got to do is click it, and boom, you're on. And I'm going to be updating it daily. Putting the shows on there, putting videos on there. Speaking of videos, there's a video on there now. I want you to take a look at it. Go on the site. And it's a teenage girl. Her name is Alyssa, 17 years old. She is over-medicated. She knows it. She is pleading to come home. She doesn't want the drugs. They have got her drugged up to the max. They've been playing games with her mother. They're playing games with her. And now they're trying to buy her. They want to keep her there until she's over 20, till 21 or 24. That's what CPS is doing. It used to be that you aged out at 18. Once you became 18, boom, done. You're out on the streets. And it doesn't matter if you don't have a job or not. you either go homeless or you commit a crime, go to jail. A lot of women go into prostitution. Of course, that's because of global warming. We found out about that the other day. Barbara Lee from California. Well, the reason a lot of these girls out of foster care go into prostitution because they've already been in prostitution. They're pros at it by the time that they're 18, which is absolutely sick. Yeah, that's right. When your kids go to foster care, it's not foster care. There's no fostering, and there is no care. Your children are drugged. A lot of them are abused and neglected, just like they blame the parents for. And they do use these children. It's sick. It's twisted. Now, again, not every foster care does this. Not every foster care home, not every foster care parent is a creep. But the problem is there's far too many of them. Far too many of them. One is far too many. But we have exceeded that by a huge number. So go on the site there and just listen to this girl plead to come home. They're trying to buy her. They want to keep kids no longer at 18. They want to keep them 21, 24. Some of these, they want to keep them for life. They're in a facility. And once you get into these facilities, guess what? Well, the federal dollars just keep coming in. And that's what they're after. They're not after treating her because there's nothing wrong with her. They just want the money. So they're taking her out to dinner. They're taking her out to the movies. They're taking her to parks. They're taking her all. They're wining and dining this girl to get her to sign on and sign her life away to this facility. I think it's Brookside ITU. It's in Massachusetts. And this family is from Vermont. So how the hell they got to Massachusetts? Who knows? I mean, these people will do anything. They'll do anything. They'll say anything. And they get away with it. See, the government can lie. They've got a license to lie. Don't you know they won an election? Ah, my first mate jumped on board. How you doing, Kel? Good evening. But that's what they do. They're whining and dining this girl to keep her until forever because they got that federal dollars coming in. They love that money. It has nothing to do with the care. It has to do with money. And they don't care who they destroy. Children, adults, they don't care. See, that's the definition of a psychopath. The definition of a psychopath is someone who can't feel empathy. Someone who doesn't understand and doesn't realize the pain and misery and agony that they are causing another human being. That's a psychopath. That's what serial killers are. I'm not saying these people are serial killers, but they are killing these children and these families very slowly. And yeah, I'm using the word kill because that's exactly what happens. They do die. They die inside. And yeah, a lot of them do die on the outside, actually physically dead. They breathe no more. Their heart does not pump. Those stories are real. They're not fake. All right, one more announcement here before we get going. We got a lot of stuff to cover here tonight, too. A lot of corruption, a lot of craziness, a lot of absurdity. That's all it's been all week. That's the only thing I've had to talk about tonight. All week is nothing but absurdity. Well, Lakeisha Tana, you know who she is. She's come on this program. I know it's a ways away. Well, it's only a week and a half away. Monday, get out your calendar right now. Get out your calendar, get out a pen. And write this down. If you're anywhere near the Chicago area, Monday, April 13th, there it is, 1100 South Hamilton, 1100 South Hamilton in Chicago, Illinois, Monday, April 13th at 2:30 p.m. Look, if you've got nothing to do that day, make sure you're down there and give this woman support. She just wants her grandchild back. It's hers. It's not the government's. It's not the state's. This little boy has all kinds of medical issues. He may not be around for very long, and he should be with the family when he passes away. He should not be in foster care or in some facility. He needs to be with the family. I'm sorry, I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy, but family is extremely important. If it wasn't for family, the human being would have never evolved into the species we are today. Just would have never happened. And family is important. And that's one thing CPS doesn't seem to understand. But I do. And I'm not afraid to fight these bastards. All right, let's get into some scuttlebutt here. This is from The Blaze. I got two stories from The Blaze tonight. Wasn't intentional, just kind of happened that way. But we've got more false accusations. Now, you know I've done a lot of false accusations on this show. Well, false accusations, I'm sorry, but they're real. And they do destroy lives. They also get people killed, too. Believe it or not. Somebody makes a false accusation. A SWAT team shows up. Shoots you dead. For what? Well, he moved. Well, yeah, somebody comes into your, crashing through your door unexpected, and you've got all these machine guns pointed at you, you damn skipper, you're going to be moving. You're also going to be crapping your pants. It's getting ridiculous now. Lives are lost. Lives are destroyed with false accusations. And there is no penalty for it. You can make up as many accusations as you want against anybody. And if it's proven false, well, nothing happens to you. Oh, well, nothing. Well, look, you make a false accusation, and it is proven that it's a false accusation. You need to be punished for whatever accusation you made against that person. So if you made an accusation that somebody did something, whatever it was, and the penalty for whatever it is that you accused them of is 5 to 10 years, well, then the person who made that accusation and proven false should get the 5 to 10 years. That's how I look at it. But see, I deal with common sense and logic and all that other stuff, so it just gets into the way of progress. Well, a disabled United States Navy veteran, one of my homeboys, he's in Glendale, Arizona. Well, he's devastated now. He's at a loss. The police confiscated 28 of his guns, all of his guns, valued over $25,000, after a neighbor made false allegations that he threatened him. Even if he did threaten him. People threaten people all the time. Just because you have a gun and you tell somebody I'm going to kick your ass and you have a gun, that means that you have to have all your weapons taken away. I mean, that's ridiculous. But it was a false accusation. His name is Rick Bailey. A 56-year-old retired software systems engineer tells The Blaze that he and his neighbor were engaged in a months-long dispute over the neighbor's landscaping company. Evidently, the neighbor would park his two big, giant, smelly, nasty, greasy dump trucks in the neighborhood. They stunk up the joint, dropping manure and what have you not all over the place. So it was, it was a small little cul-de-sac. No one could move around in there. So he complained. Well, they went back and forth, and they were complaining. They were fighting back and forth, and, neighbors being neighbors. Okay, whatever. So this Bailey, he calls the city, and the city agreed with him and said, look, you're going to have to remove these dump trucks. You can't be parking them here. They're too big for the neighborhood. They smell. You're dropping all kinds of stuff all over the place. It's disgusting. So you're going to have to keep it at your business. You can't keep it in a residential area. There are a lot of rules for these big commercial trucks in residential areas. And, rightly so. There's reasons for it. And if you don't understand it, well, then you need to stay out of the conversation. Well, after 2 months of what he called calm, so he removed the trucks. But he would park them every once in a while on the weekends because the city was closed on the weekends, just to irritate the guy. 2 months when there was peace and calm in the neighborhood, the situation finally came to a head on March 16th. After Bailey had to call the police again because he smelled what he thought were toxic chemicals coming from the neighbor's property. Maybe so, maybe it wasn't. But if you've got something that smells toxic, well, yeah. I mean, you want to call somebody. You know, you want to call somebody because those chemicals, well, they could be deadly. Hence the term toxic. He said, I spend my days sitting out on my patio relaxing, explaining that he is very seriously disabled, so it's hard for him to get up and move around. But he likes to go on his patio and relax. Who doesn't? If you've got a patio, the patio is a perfect place to relax. Just the way it is. He said the smell got so bad, he had to come back to his patio and use his inhaler. So he called the police again to see if something could be done. Well, the police arrived. And Mr. Bailey told the police officers that the neighbor had alleged he threatened to shoot him. And he said, well, no, that's BS. He used the real word. I'm trying to keep it clean. I know I went off a little bit last night. Of course, I was pissed off at the world and everybody in it last night. So I apologize. But I don't really apologize so much for what I said because I meant it. But, you know, maybe I can try to calm down a little bit. But you know what? See, that's the problem. Every problem that we have in this world came out of a civil conversation. Every single one. We can't have these civil conversations anymore. Look, if we're going to solve some of these problems, we're going to have to get angry. We're going to have to no longer accept the unacceptable. Just the way it is. Well, I was in no mood for tolerance or acceptance last night. Just wasn't. Of course, I never am. Last night was last night. Can't do anything about it. It's over with. Let's move on. So this neighbor said that Mr. Bailey had threatened to shoot him. I mean, this is hearsay. You know, he said. Well, you can't make somebody, you can't, just because you're a cop, just because you're a judge or a politician or a doctor or anything, just because somebody said somebody did something doesn't mean that they did. You cannot hold this person guilty just because of one accusation. We have a little thing in this country called due process. I know we used to. We don't really have it anymore, but we used to have it. And it used to be in my most favorite document. You can hear it in my hands right here. This is the United States Constitution. One of the last remaining copies of this document. You see, the government hasn't confiscated it yet. They can't have it. They can't even get it from my cold, dead fingers. My cold, dead fingers will never release this document. Why? Well, because this document is right in here. It's in my heart. And when I signed up for the Navy, I took an oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution, and that oath lasts for life. Forever. It's never going to get out of me. I love this document. All we got to do is follow it. But we don't. We don't. Why? I wish I had that answer. I'd be a gazillionaire right now if I knew that answer. But I'm not. I'm poor. So here I am, following the Constitution. I don't care how poor I am. I'm still going to follow the Constitution. Just the way it is. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the law enforcement, the medical community, the schools. I don't care what anybody says. I'm free, and I'm going to live free. I refuse to comply with tyranny. Flat refuse. Won't do it. And neither should you. Well, evidently, the very next day, on March 17th, the neighbor told authorities that Bailey had threatened him and filed for an injunction against harassment. Well, Mr. Bailey said that he's been trained on firearms since he was a kid and fully understands the implications of threatening to shoot someone, even as a joke. Well, yeah. I mean, you don't say, I'm going to shoot you, you know, and mean it. You just don't do it. Now you're with your buddies and you're watching the game and, you know, shut up or I'm going to shoot you in the head. Okay, that's different. Okay, and boys will talk to each other like that. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. You have to understand what is a real threat and what is talk. And if you're not paying attention, you're not focused on the conversation, you're not listening, you'll never understand it. And hearsay is not proof. Hearsay is just that. Hearsay. And just because you heard it doesn't mean that the person said it. People hear all kinds of stuff that are never said. And people say all kinds of stuff that are never heard. This world is backwards. It's upside down. I don't understand it. Irritates me. But the protective order doesn't even appear to even mention that Mr. Bailey made any gun-related threats. So he got this restraining order on him. And the restraining order says absolutely nothing about any kind of gun-related threats. None. So the neighbor alleged that Mr. Bailey threatened to stuff me in my dump truck, he says. Well, maybe you should have been stuffed in the dump truck. Maybe you would have learned to park the son of a bitch somewhere else. Like, I don't know, at your shop? Keep it out of the neighborhood? I mean, I don't know. Just a suggestion. But, I mean, that's me. Well, he demanded to move his trucks and told him to move his boat to the other side of the property. Look, I mean, I don't know what the heck went on with these two. I mean, you got a neighbor little tiff here. Okay, it happens. Neighbors are going to get upset with each other. Just the way it is. You live so close to people, and eventually somebody's going to irritate you. But that's no excuse for one complaint to be found guilty with no due process and no charges filed. That's another thing. You are being punished in this country today with no charges filed and no due process. But you get the punishment. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, because too many people are too afraid to stand up and fight against it. Say something about it. They won't do it. Oh, I don't want to rock the boat. I might get arrested too. If you're afraid to fight, you're never going to win. And you're always going to lose. You're going to be at the bottom. You're going to be tyrannized. Well, I refuse to be tyrannized. I stand up to it wherever it is. And I don't care who it is. Man, woman, child, or beast. I argue with just about anybody. I don't give a damn who you are. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how many guns you got, how many badges you got, how many robes you wear. I mean, enough is enough. We all have to do it. I know it sucks. But you got to do it. Nothing in life is easy. And a lot of things in life do suck. I didn't invent life. I just know how it is. You're never going to win. And you deserve anything that comes your way. I don't want to hear it. Well, Bailey denies threatening his neighbor. He also said he is physically incapable of harming the man because of his disability. Bailey said he was medically discharged from the Navy after 4 years of service due to a serious back injury. I know about them. And that's me. Some mornings I can't even get out of bed. And sitting down, painful. Walking is painful. Sleeping is painful. Living is painful. But you got to keep going. And that's what this guy's doing. Just doing the best that he can. Well, his condition eventually forced him to retire from his job as well, so he can hardly do anything. Well, still, a judge apparently found that the neighbor's allegations were sufficient enough to not only issue this protective order, but to also order the confiscation of his 28 firearms because of a neighbor's complaint. Now, even if this neighbor did threaten him and threatened to shoot him, okay, all right. Well, again, I know I sound like a broken record, but we have a little thing called due process. What should have happened, there should have gone to court. There should have been an investigation. They should have actually physically done some sort of due process to determine whether this man actually physically meant to harm his neighbor, therefore having probable cause and legitimacy to remove his firearms. But none of that happened. The judge took one complaint, one complaint, gave a restraining order, and confiscated his guns with one complaint. Not several complaints, but one. And no due process, no investigation, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, this kind of stuff happens all the time. This is not an isolated incident. This seems to be an everyday occurrence. Well, evidently the judge attached a separate order directing officers to take Bailey's guns and revoking his right to purchase firearms. You can't even purchase one. You can't own one. You can't have one. You can't even look at one. I wonder if he could write the word gun on a piece of paper. What if he sent a text message with the word gun in it? Like Ted Topier. Remember him? It's the same thing. He had a whole SWAT team on him, 75 SWAT team members, and their fingers were on the trigger. They weren't where they were supposed to be. They were actually on the trigger. And they went there to kill him. They wanted him to move so they could shoot him and shoot him dead. Now, how do we know that? Well, Ted Topier happened to be a friend of one of the SWAT team members, and the SWAT team member called him and warned him before the SWAT team showed up. And he told him, they're there to shoot you and shoot you dead. I'm sick of these SWAT teams, too. I mean, they use SWAT teams for everything. SWAT needs to be used for the last resort, not the first response. And you don't use a SWAT with one accusation. And that's what they're doing. All it takes is one accusation now, and you're guilty. Well, you see, this is one of the reasons why we went to war with the British a couple hundred years ago. I mean, not for nothing. At least it was when I read history books when I was a kid. I mean, you know, stuff like this was going on. History does repeat itself. We have the same problems in this country today as we did in the 1700s, but they're the same. Corruption never changes. Corruption is corruption. The actual corrupt act may be different, but corruption is still corruption. Under other orders, the judge wrote, the defendant shall not have by firearms surrender any to Glendale Police Department. Those are in quotes. Well, evidently, the Glendale Police Department wasted no time in arriving in his house to confiscate his guns the same day that the judge signed the order. Right then and there, boom. Got the order, boom. Went running to the house. Give me your guns. Give me your guns. Well, the Glendale Police Department spokesman, Sergeant David Vidaru, I guess is how you pronounce his name, Vidaur, I don't know. Who cares? We'll just call him David. Sergeant David confirmed that the police received the court order and acted on it by confiscating the Bailey's firearms. He said the police department did not play a role in the decision. Well, you carried out that decision. I mean, I you know, those soldiers in the ghettos in Germany and all over Europe. Yeah, when they pointed out to which Jew got on the boxcar and which Jew stayed in the ghetto. They didn't play a role in the decision. They were acting out what they were told to do. They were still just as guilty. Just as guilty. Just because somebody made the decision. Somebody else made the decision. So? You carried out the order. You carried it out. You're the one who committed the actual act. You can't blame somebody else. Yeah, they should be should take the blame too for giving the order. But you got to be held for carrying out that order. So I really don't want to hear it. I don't buy that lame ass, weak, pitiful, just ridiculous excuse. Well, I'm just doing my job, just following orders. I don't buy that as an excuse. I don't buy that. That's not legitimate to me. Because if the order doesn't make sense and the order is wrong and the order is unlawful, you do have not only a right, but an obligation, a duty, a responsibility to stand up and say no. But people don't because they're afraid. They might lose their job. Well, look, if you're afraid of losing your job, you don't deserve your job. Just do your job. And if you do lose your job, well, then deal with it later. You can deal with that. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do. Maybe you can go out and find a better job. One that actually serves the public. Mr. Bailey said he was totally devastated. Said he couldn't believe something like this could happen. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody believes that this stuff can happen until it happens to them. Well, I'm here to tell you it can happen to anybody at any time. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your color is. Doesn't matter what your sex is. Doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. Doesn't matter what your religion is. It can happen to you. Are you a human being? Yeah. Okay. This can happen to you at any time. And this is what I'm talking about. This is where the American people, actually for the world, for that matter, but I can't do anything what's going on anywhere else. I can't do anything what's going on in Europe or Australia, Russia, China. But we can do something what's going on right here. Right in your own community. Poke around. Talk around to people in your community. Find out who your neighbors are. Talk to them. Find out what's going on. You can do things in your own community. And little things do add up to big things very quickly. So you don't have to solve all the world's problem with one swing. But you have to stand up and no longer accept some of this stuff. And it's okay to stand up and it's okay to voice your opinion. Yeah, I know we no longer have the First Amendment, but we still have the right to voice your opinion. You have the right to free speech. Whether the government takes it away from you or not, you have the right to exercise it. So exercise it, for crying out loud. He said he had a 3-hour anxiety / panic attack, whatever that is, while the officers were there and after they left. But the police were very kind enough to ask if he wanted an ambulance. Well, that's awful nice of you. Awful nice of you, guys. You come into the man's home. You confiscate all of his property. Oh, can we get you an ambulance? I mean, and that's cold, man. That's wrong. Well, Mr. Bailey intends to appeal the judge's court orders, and I hope he does. He ain't got a chance in hell, but he's still got to do it. You got to stand up for what's right, Mr. Bailey. An attempt to reclaim the confiscated firearms. He says it took well over a decade to finally collect. He's got a GoFundMe page trying to raise money for his legal fees. See, this is another thing. They get all these false and bogus accusations against you, and then you have no choice but you have to go to court to fight it. Otherwise, if you don't, you go to jail, and you don't have any money to fight it. So how can you fight it? See, that's the point. That's where they get you. They know you don't have any money to fight it. They know you don't have any resources to fight back, so they can do whatever they want to with you. They can take whatever they want. They can take your guns. They can take your children. They can take anything they want. They can take your life. And there's nothing you can do about it because you don't have enough money and you can't fight back. Well, again, money is important, yes, but money is not that important. There's other things that, you know, we should actually be doing, our law enforcement. Going out there and finding people that are actually, well, you know, killing people, raping people, harming people in real ways. Actually physically harming people. This man never harmed anybody, but yet he's punished. And now he has to go not only bankrupt, but he has to go in debt to fight something that never even happened. Is that fair? I don't see that being fair. I see that being wrong. I see that being tyranny. And this is why every American should be upset at this. But most people never even heard of this story. You think the mainstream media would cover this? No. I mean, Glenn Beck will cover it. Fox News, they won't touch it. ABC, CBS, no, they ain't going to touch it. NBC, you think MSNBC would cover this? No. MSNBC loves tyranny. And that's why their ratings are so low. Even CNN has better ratings than MSNBC. I seen a thing today and yesterday. They keep putting it in one article after another. MSNBC is in trouble. I mean, nobody watches them. Nobody. And no matter who they keep putting on their network, nobody watches it. Well, I mean, if you've ever watched it once, you know why nobody watches it. That's why I don't watch it, because I've seen it. Now, here's another thing. Evidently, in this protective order is only valid for a year. So, in theory, Mr. Bailey should be able to get his guns back when this protective order expires. Now, here's the question that I have. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. If this guy is so awful, so hateful, so mean, that he's making all these vicious threats against all of his neighbors, and he has to have his guns removed because he can't have any guns because the community doesn't trust him with guns because they're afraid he's going to kill somebody. Okay, well, why is it only for a year? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. If this guy is really such a bad guy that he must have his guns removed, then it shouldn't be for a year. It should be forever. I don't understand this. What's going to happen in a year? Is he going to automatically be cured with, you know, wanting to go out and kill somebody within a year? I mean, this doesn't even make any sense. This is why it tells me this is arbitrary. And it's baseless. Again, there was no due process. There was nothing. Just one accusation. The man was found guilty. Got a protective order and lost his property with one accusation. But he could get it back in a year. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. And no charges are filed. Now, if you threaten somebody and you come up to somebody and you threaten to kill them, it used to be you went to jail. So where's the real threat? If this guy really threatened him, why is he not in jail? Because it's not a real threat. They just want the guns. That's all they want. They just want the guns. Well, why is that? Well, so you can't stand up and defend yourself. That's why. And now, there are a lot. Look, there's a lot of stuff going on now. I know the military is doing drills. California, Texas, and the whole Southwest. And look, I understand the military's got to do drills. When I was in the Navy, we did drills every day. There wasn't one day, even Sunday, we did drills. That's what the military does. But a lot of these drills are, I know a lot of people think that I'm some kind of crazy, whacked out conspiracy theorist, but this really isn't theory. I'm more or less questioning. And there are a lot of people, a lot of politicians, they want martial law. Police want martial law. They want that total control. And, you know, I know a lot of people say that there's martial law in the Constitution. Haven't found it. I read what they said was martial law. It's not. And same with that executive order nonsense. That's not what that says. But people have taken it upon themselves to completely misinterpret, completely twist and mold and change the Constitution so it fits them. Well, it fits me perfect, just exactly the way it's written. You don't need to change anything. What do you need to change? I mean, I can't think of anything that I need to change in here. I mean, I don't see anything that's worthy of change to make my life easier. I mean, we've got the First Amendment. We've got the Second Amendment. Right here. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, it sounds to me like Mr. Bailey got his Second Amendment right infringed by a judge. Now, isn't the judge supposed to, well, ensure that the laws are, well, the Constitution's followed and the law is followed? Well, the Constitution is law. Constitution trumps all other laws. All other laws. So when the Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, all of these mayors and all of these governors who put all these gun control laws on the books, the Constitution trumps them. You can't get any higher than the Constitution unless you go to the Bible. But this isn't about the Bible. This is about the Constitution. This is about country law. Believable. Well, Mr. Bailey, I hope in a year you get your guns back. Actually, I hope you get your guns back sooner. Now, what's going to happen in this appeal? Well, they're going to appeal it, and they're going to do this and delay it, and they're going to bankrupt you. You're going to have no money left. And even if you do win, you're going to be left penniless and homeless, and you're going to have nothing left. And since they can't give you your guns back because you're homeless, homeless people aren't allowed to have guns. For whatever reason that is, I don't know. Just another way to keep control over you. That's all this is. This is all about control. All about power. Got to have that power. But why don't you have the power over yourself? How about that? Why don't you exercise that power and dust off that old Constitution you got up there in the attic and read it and then follow it? Now that's powerful. Following the Constitution is real power. That's your power. Oh, all right, let's move on to this next. This is from the Blaze. I need a shot of grog for this one. Wait till you hear this. Unbelievable. Well, the VA now. Get this. X-rays a veteran's leg that doesn't even exist. Yeah, I know. I didn't believe it either. But I read it, and it's true. Chad Fleming. He's a veteran who served in the 75th Ranger Regiment. Says that the VA took an X-ray of his artificial leg to prove he was actually an amputee. A doctor. An actual doctor. Somebody that had to go to 4 years of college. Then had to go to, 6 years of medical school, and then you got to go to a couple of years of internship, and then you got to do this and you got to do that. So it takes a while to actually become a doctor. But you don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be a doctor to know that somebody has an artificial leg. All you need are two eyes. Actually, you only need is one. That's all you need is one eye. Even if you don't have any eyes, you can feel it, and you can tell the difference in your hand if you are feeling an artificial leg or a real leg. I mean, this, you can't make this stuff up. It's right here, black and white. Here it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. Though they, I mean, they said that he never even looked at his extensive medical history. Which, even if he didn't look at it, he didn't even have to look at the leg. He could just tell by his medical records. Now, don't doctors look at medical records anymore? Don't they do that? Don't doctors look at your medical records? At least I thought they did. Well, evidently, they don't anymore. They don't in the VA. All you need is eyes. I mean, it's not difficult to tell if somebody's got a fake leg or not. And this is a doctor. An actual doctor. Well, Mr. Fleming said that the doctor actually laughed. Well, he told the doctor. He said, now you wonder why the country is in, this is his exact quote. You wonder why the country is in such a deficit. It's because you're wasting money and taking x-rays of a leg that doesn't exist. He said, it's like, dude, I'm not a starfish. It's not going to grow back. That was his quote that he told the doctor. And I mean, why would you take an x-ray? I mean, we've got a lot of veterans out there that would desperately love to have a doctor, who need a doctor, who need a doctor, who want one, who needs one. And yet we're farting around with taking an x-ray of a fake leg? I mean, that's ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. I'm sorry, doctor, but you should lose your license for that. You should lose your license for taking an x-ray of a fake leg to prove that this man is an actual amputee. I mean, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Well, evidently Glenn Beck had invited a whole bunch of veterans to his farm, and they sat down, gave him beer, like a beer summit, like the president would do. And he asked them to discuss, you know, some events. Well, Mr. Fleming was there. Marcus Luttrell was there. He's the lone survivor author. And Mr. Luttrell said, he said that the last time I was there to set up for a surgery, I was sitting in the waiting room watching television, and a special came on the news about a guy who got AIDS from reused medical equipment in the VA. He said it was the same exact procedure that he was fixing to get, and he said, I'm gone. And he walked out. Oh, I would have done the same thing too. Look, you can't reuse the same needle that you injected into somebody else. You can't do that. Doctor should know that. Again, even if you're not a doctor, you should know. You should know not to do that. Hello? I mean, you don't, again, you don't need to be a doctor to know a lot of this stuff. And why that doctor? Well, I mean, I get to the point I really get frustrated with this kind of stuff. And I really want to start just cussing and screaming and throwing fits. I really do. I mean, this is ridiculous. Mr. Luttrell also said that he tried to get, now listen to this. This is government. This is the epitome of government. This is why we have so many problems in this country today, because of how government actually runs. Well, I don't even know if government really runs, but he said he was trying to get a dentist appointment once, but after waiting for 4 hours for an appointment, told that he would only be able to make an appointment to come back to make an appointment. Meaning you have to make an appointment to make an appointment. You can't make an appointment. You have to make an appointment to come back so you can make an appointment. Now, what the hell is the point of that? That doesn't even make any sense. This is our government. This is how things are run. And they wonder this guy is right. Why we have such a big deficit. Why we have such a big debt. We're going to be $28 trillion in debt in 2018. Trillion. In 2018. We'll be over 20,000 in 2016, which is coming up in a year. Obama more than doubled the debt and blamed George Bush, which George Bush, he had some faults. He did some stupid stuff. Well, give me a president that didn't. Give me a human being, for that matter, that's never done anything stupid. Ugh. You got to make an appointment to make an appointment to make an appointment. I mean, this is ridiculous. And vets are actually dying out there. They need a doctor. They need somebody who can take care of them. Somebody can help them. I mean, this is absolutely just, this is nonsense. He said that sleep apnea, which means you can't sleep. You got problems sleeping. He says that is a higher disability rating than a missing leg. Imagine that. Sleep apnea has a higher disability rating than a missing leg. Well, you have any idea why that is? Well, let me tell you if you don't. It's because sleep apnea is now considered a mental disorder. Means that you're mentally ill if you can't sleep. You've got insomnia. It's a mental disorder. You're mentally ill. Well, they've been pushing in this country for more gun restrictions and gun laws on mentally ill people. Well, anybody who's going to take a gun and just start blowing people away is mentally ill. Not for nothing. But that's what this is about. They put that on there, sleep apnea, so they can label you mentally ill, so they can take away your guns. And that's for no other reason. No other reason other than that. That's why it is. And sleep apnea is not a mental disorder. Look, sometimes people get insomnia. It happens. You got a lot on your mind. You got a lot of stress. You got a lot of this. You got a lot of that. It's going to happen. Or maybe you're just not tired. Sometimes that happens. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's all about tyranny. It doesn't matter what it is. All this stuff is arbitrary. It's baseless. They're making up rules as they go along just to tyrannize you. And we have too many people in this country that don't seem to give a damn. For what reason? I don't know. I do. Too many people are afraid to fight. They're afraid. That's cowardly. I'm not a coward. I don't like cowards. I hate people who are afraid to fight. I just do. I got no room for people like that in my life. I just really don't. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here. See what kind of booty we can plunder tonight. Oh, would you look at this right on top. Oh, now this one here. This story here. This is very telling, and I'm not going to tell it until I get to the end. But it is very telling. It really says a lot. It says a lot about the Democratic Party. Well, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, now he's had charges against him a few times. One was prostitution. Well, that one didn't stick. Well, now he's being indicted on corruption charges, accused of using his office to improperly benefit a Florida eye doctor and a political donor. Well, most politicians do this. They shouldn't, and they all should be busted for it, but they do it. So he's far from the only one. And I'm not a Bob Menendez fan. I don't like him, never did. He's a creepy dude. He really is. And he's been messing with prostitutes for a long time. And again, I don't have anything against prostitutes. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you're not affecting me. My life is not in turmoil because you're a prostitute. Women have been prostitutes since women were women. They're just the way it is. It's not a very safe practice for women to do. I wish there were a lot less prostitutes. There'd be a lot less diseases in the world. A lot less of these women wouldn't be beaten, tortured, killed, and used and abused. But if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. Besides which, according to Barbara Lee, women have no choice in the matter. It's global warming, and global warming makes women become prostitutes. Barbara Lee from California said that. Those aren't my words. Those are her words. Well, the indictment charged the New Jersey Democrat with 14 counts, including bribery, conspiracy, over his ties with Dr. Solomon Melgen. He's a wealthy doctor, very wealthy, and he's a politician. He's Mr. Menendez. I cannot say that name. Menendez. Probably why I'm not Spanish. I can't speak Spanish at all. None of it. I can say Taco Bell, and that's about as Spanish as I can get. Well, he's a longtime friend of Mr. Menendez, which is fine. You can be friends. Well, this doctor has also been charged in the case as well. Evidently, the indictment from a grand jury in New Jersey was the latest development in the federal investigation that came into public view when the federal authorities raided Melgen's medical offices 2 years ago. The investigation focused on whether the senator had improperly advocated Melgen's behalf, including interviewing a Medicare billing dispute. What was that? Southern Sense, call me after Easter and we'll send him. Oh, that's not talking to me. What the hell? I finally get an opportunity to look down at the chat room, and I'm over here responding to another conversation. I'm sorry, Annie. I didn't mean to do that. Anyway, back to wherever the hell I was. Menendez has acknowledged that he flew multiple times on Melgen's private jet to the Dominican Republic and initially failed to improperly pay for the trips. Now get this. In 2013, Menendez agreed to reimburse the doctor $58,000 for the full cost of two flights. $58,500 for two flights? Are they flying to the moon? I mean, I know, okay, fine, it's a private jet, but, I mean, still. I mean, that's almost $60,000, that's almost $30,000 a flight. Wow. Whoa. Well, the senator's office later disclosed another flight from Florida to New York in 2011. Mr. Menendez, of course, repaid the doctor. This one was for $11,000 for one flight. Maybe you should have flown JetBlue. I mean, I'm just saying. But hey, I mean, if you've got $60,000 laying around and you want to take a private jet, fine, knock yourself out. But wow. Well, last year, Menendez disclosed that his campaign accounts had paid a law firm of $250,000 for legal costs related to investigations by the Justice Department and the Ethics Committee. Blah, 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 blah. Well, see, he is the top Democrat in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And if you've been paying attention with our foreign relations in this country, this is a guy who's ahead of it. He's the top Democrat in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I don't like any of these Foreign Relations Committee. We don't have any foreign relations anymore. Nobody likes us. I mean, nobody's envy of the United States anymore. That's why a lot of people used to not like us, because they were envy of us, because we had freedom. Well, we don't have that anymore. We don't have freedom anymore. And nobody's afraid of us anymore. Nobody envies us anymore. The only reason why they want to come over here, not to become Americans and not for freedom, but to take us over. That's why they're coming over here. They're not coming over here to be free. They're coming over here to be Democratic voters and to take over the country. That's why they're coming over here. And again, I don't care if you come over from other countries. Everybody in this country came from somewhere, including the American Indian. That's what makes this country so great, is we only have one race, the American race. We come in every size, every shape, every color, every religion. We come in everything. And that's the beauty of America. You can be anybody you want to be. I refuse to call anybody African American, Chinese American, all these other hyphenated Americans. No, you're not. You're not an African American. You're not a Chinese American. You're an American. You are no more, no less of an American than anybody else. I refuse to call black people African American. Most of them never even been to Africa. I mean, what the hell? I'm nothing but German. I got nothing but crowd in me. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed German. That's it. Pure Aryan blood running through my veins. I don't call myself a German-American. I'm an American. Just the way it is. Half of my grandparents were born over there, and half of them were born over here in the early 1900s. We're Americans. Just the way it is. Even if you were born somewhere else, and you came over here and became a citizen. Okay, you're a citizen, so you are now an American. You're not a hyphenated American, you're American. And it's high time we started understanding that in this country. We're all Americans. All of us. Not just parts of us, not just some of us, but all of us. Well, of course, you know, Mr. Menendez claims he did nothing wrong. Of course he didn't do anything wrong. He's a Democrat. Democrats don't do anything wrong. Then you know that. Ah. Then he goes on and talks about how he celebrated holidays with the guy and they went to weddings and funerals and blah, blah, blah. So what? Just because you're good friends with the guy and you go to weddings and funerals and birthday parties with him? I mean, what is that supposed to mean? That means you're not guilty? Well, this doctor evidently came under fire when the government data last year showed that he had received more in Medicare reimbursements in 2012 than any doctor in the country. See, that's another thing. There's a lot of that with doctors and politicians. A lot of that. And that's, again, that's what's going on with CPS. A lot of these doctors are making big bucks off of Medicare. Well, what is Medicare? Well, Medicare is a taxpayer's money. That's what Medicare is, just so you know. So this doctor is stealing from you. He's stealing from the American people. It's like walking into Fort Knox and just loading up the truck full of gold. That's what it is. It's theft. Oh, looks like Vorp came into the chat room. How you doing, Vorp? All right, we're getting a full house here tonight. Well, that's good. Well, now everybody's gone. That's all right. They were here for a little while. Well, Mr. Menendez becomes the first sitting United States senator to face indictment since then Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska. Remember him in 2008? Remember that? Well, see, he was found guilty of concealing gifts from donors on financial disclosure statements. But the Justice Department finally had to drop the case because, see, the prosecutors failed to turn over evidence that would have, well, looked very favorable in his defense. And if you remember correctly, if I remember correctly, I think his plane crashed shortly thereafter. in Alaska. Yeah, and he was kind of a pilot. Actually, he was in a number of accidents before. He was in a couple of plane crashes beforehand, but finally this one got him. It was a little too coincidental that his plane just happened to crash. A little too coincidental. But, I mean, that's me, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist. Well, Menendez joined the Senate, evidently, in 2006. And I care about that? What difference does that make? Well, even while he was under federal investigation, he's used his leadership position in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to criticize. Now, this right here, this is what I was talking about. This is very telling with politicians, not just Democrats, but politicians. Even while under federal investigation, he has used his leadership position on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to criticize negotiations between President Barack Obama's administration and Iran on its nuclear program, and was been very outspoken in the opposition to normalizing relations with Cuba. So you think maybe that might be the reason why he's being indicted? Because, you see, Democrats don't ever, very rarely, get indicted for corruption charges. Unless they piss off a higher-up liberal, then they get in trouble. But a liberal's never going to get in trouble unless they piss off a higher-up liberal. Just the way it is. Now, you have to ask yourself, is this just coincidence, or is this deliberate? Me, personally, I mean, I have no proof. You never have any proof. But I think the evidence, you know, I mean, if you can add two and two together, you can smell the roses. Yeah, it smells more deliberate than coincidence. So, Mr. Menendez, I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for you. I never liked you. You're a dirtbag. You're two-faced. You're cheap. You're corrupt. There's really not much, a whole lot, you know, nice to say about you. There really isn't. And I don't feel sorry for you. What I feel sorry for are the American people. Because this right here should never have to happen. I hate corruption of any kind. I don't care where it comes from. You know how I feel. I don't like corruption of any kind. I don't care if it comes from a badge, a robe, a presidential freaking seal. I don't care if you're a Walmart greeter. If you're corrupt, you're corrupt. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And speaking of corruption, banks are now turning accounts over to the police for seizure. That's right, we must seize your bank accounts. We've already got your guns. Now we're going to take your money. And then we're going to get your kids. Yeah. I mean, this government just will not stop. Everybody's turning on everybody. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. Everybody was turning on everybody. The government was getting everybody to turn on everybody. They were getting the banks to turn on their people. They were getting the police to turn on them. They were getting the neighbors to turn on each other. Well, this is exactly what I'm talking about right here. Everything I'm talking about tonight is exactly what went on in Nazi Germany. You don't believe me? Find a history book. Find a history book and read it. And that's what happened, and this is exactly what's going on in this country today. Everything that's going on in Nazi Germany is going on in the United States of America, and I'm sick and tired of it. We can't have this in our country anymore. We can't have this. But we got to stand up and fight it. And if that means you're going to have to step on somebody's toes, poke somebody in the eye, you slap their face, well then do it. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for your fellow man. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for the Constitution. Stand up just to stand up. Get off your ass and stand up. Well, coming on the heels of a recent New York Times report that the nation's biggest banks have willingly turned bank accounts over to the IRS for total confiscation. Especially them Tea Partiers. Yeah, we're going to get them bastards. Yeah, that's what we're going to do now. Well, the Wall Street Journal now reports that banks are working with the Department of Justice. Justice? Department of what? Department of what? Department of Justice. You mean the Department of Injustice? Is that what you were talking about? Because we don't have a Department of Justice anymore. We don't have it. It's gone. I haven't seen it. Honey, you seen the Department of Justice? Ah, she ain't seen it. Nobody's seen it. It doesn't exist. We do not have a Department of Justice anymore. Because if we did, I wouldn't be talking about all the injustices on their show. If we had a legitimate Department of Justice, if we had a legitimate Attorney General, I would not be on these airwaves talking about the injustices going on in this country. There might be one or two. Okay, fine. We can always deal with that. But the amount that we have in this country today, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. We do not have a Department of Justice. It is now the Department of Injustice. To turn customer bank accounts over to the police for seizure. Now, why the hell would the police get involved in this? This is what doesn't make any sense to me. This makes no sense to me. Evidently, it's all done in secrecy. And it's often initiated by the bankers. And bank account holders, you have no idea that they're doing this. You have no idea that you are a target until after all of your money is gone. They've taken it. Well, their actions have actually resulted in well over millions of dollars stolen, literally stolen from United States citizens without a shred, nothing. No due process whatsoever. They don't need due process, or the government, even though the Constitution says they do. Well, see, Obama's got a magic pen, and he's got a phone, so he doesn't need the Constitution. He can do what he wants. The government doesn't need to follow the Constitution anymore. They can do what they want. Well, no, you can't. You're going to have to start following it. And you know what, citizens? You're going to have to start following it, too. But before you can follow it, you've got to read it. You've got to understand it. You've got to know it. And you've got to make sure that the government follows it. Because if they don't, you get screwed. Well, I'm tired of getting screwed. Over 80% of these cases, none of them have due process. Not one of them has any due process. But over 80% of them, no criminal charges are filed. So roughly 15 to 20% of these cases are actually filed. Well, just because charges are filed doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be charged with it. Anybody can file charges. That's easy. But then when it comes time to prove it, what happens? Well, these cases of unconstitutional bank account seizures have risen over 500% in the last 3 years. 500% in the last 3 years. 500%. Of bank accounts being confiscated has risen over 500%. That's a lot. That's a lot. Experts advise that if you have one choice, if you want to protect your savings and retirement from the corrupt bank accounts, government. Only one choice. Whenever a banker finds anything suspicious about the activity of a customer, they, now get this, they are required by the federal government to file a suspicious activity report. Okay, fine. That makes sense. But what is suspicious? Well, suspicious could be anything. What is suspicious? Well, to me, it should be, it needs to be labeled very clearly of exactly what is suspicious behavior. But suspicious behavior, well, it's speculative. It could mean anything. It could be anything you want it to mean. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, it's up to the bank to decide what is suspicious behavior and what is not. And let's just say, and they don't like anything over $5,000. Well, let's say you want to buy a new car. Then you take out 10 grand to go buy a car. Is that suspicious behavior? Most cars aren't 10 grand anymore. They're 20, 30, 40, 50, 100. And you got to show that, you got to tell the bank of why you're taking your money out. It's none of your business, bank. It's my money. It's in your bank. I'm giving it to you. So you can take this money and you can actually make money by loaning this money out to other people and I get interest on it. So I make money and you make money. But it's still my money. I can take it out anytime I want. Who the hell are you to tell me what I can and cannot do with my money? And if I want to take out 5 grand, 10 grand, 100 grand, or however much money I have, and however much money I want, that's my decision to make, not yours. And even if you are taking out 10 grand at a clip, so what? If you've got the money, you've got 10 grand to take out of your bank anytime you want, good for you. You should be able to buy whatever you want, whenever you want, and whatever you want. But since we don't have freedom anymore, I guess you can't. Well, evidently, according to this handbook, the Federal Financial Institution Examination Council, they're required to fill out these SAR forms of anything over $5,000, anything over 5 grand, or anything that is merely suspect of unlawful activity. Regardless of evidence, again, don't need due process. You don't have, the bank can just say you're guilty and you're guilty. They fill out the report and they take your money. Evidently, these banks have a minimum quota. I mean, how can you put a quota? And this is another thing, why cops have quotas. Well, what if nobody's committing a crime? Well, you're not doing your job if you're not arresting people. Well, if nobody's committing a crime, it tells me that the police are doing their job. Because isn't that part of the police's job is to not only, well, arrest people who are committing crimes, but to prevent crime? Isn't that the whole purpose of the police department? So if nobody's committing a crime, how can you put a quota on that? You can't put quotas on that. And you certainly can't put quotas on this. So now what happens is banks are just, they don't want to get fined. And they get fined, they can get imprisoned. They can lose their banking license. These bankers can get into a lot of trouble if they don't fill out the minimum quota. So they're filling out bogus forms here. They're just filling, okay, this person's suspect. This person's suspect. So here it is the government is forcing these banks to file false accusations against somebody so the government can turn around and punish that person with no due process. That's what's happening in this country. That's what's going on here right now, right today. That's what's happening. I can't be the only one upset at this. I mean, this is criminal. And where are you, Mr. Boner? Huh? You're the Speaker of the House. You ever stop to think that this might be a reason to impeach the Attorney General? I don't care if he put in his resignation. He should have been impeached for this. The president should have been impeached. But see, they're black, and you can't do that. Black people are beyond reproach. Why? I don't know. It doesn't matter to me what your stupid color is. It matters to me what your stupid activity is. And this kind of criminal activity needs to be punished. I'm sorry. Attorney General, President, Hillary Clinton, the IRS, the NSA, everybody. But it won't. It's going to keep going and going and going until there's nothing left. And then people are going to wake up and go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't like this. Well, you should have woke up a little earlier when we were all telling you to wake up and join the fight. Well, we didn't have enough to fight back and we lost the war. So now we're all screwed. Thank you. Well, I don't care if I got to be the only one to fight. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I'll take on the whole world. I don't care. I want my freedom. And I'm tired of waiting for it. I mean, this is ridiculous. Putting a quota and forcing these banks to file false accusations against their own customers so they, the banker, doesn't get fined, imprisoned, and loses his license to have a bank. That's a coward. You bankers should stand up. You bankers should all get together and stand up on this one. But you won't. You won't come together and you won't fight. You're cowards, every damn one of you. Every damn one of you are nothing but cowards. I got really nothing, not a whole hell of a lot to say nice about you people. I really don't. I really don't. It's absolutely pathetic. The government confiscated $447,000 from a family business in New York. This was just, I believe, last year. $33,000 from a small restaurant owner in Iowa. $66,000 from an army sergeant in Virginia who was saving money for his daughter's college education. Wow. Imagine that. Imagine having all of your money taken out of, confiscated and given to the government. Well, you see, the government's bankrupt. And the government doesn't have any money. And they need money. And this is why they're doing it. So they need money so they can, well, use it on whatever the hell they use it on. God only knows what this government spends their money on. But they don't have any money. And taxes alone will not do it. And look what they're doing with CPS. States are using money, federal taxpayer dollars, to balance their budgets. Because every child that's taken out of a home comes with a whole bunch of federal money. It's not federal money, it's your money. Everybody's stealing from the taxpayer, and the taxpayer doesn't care. And there's at least half of the country, which are Democrats, and they love higher taxes. They want more. They want to give the government more of their money so they can just waste more of it. I mean, when we've got doctors x-raying fake legs, artificial legs, to prove that this man is actually an amputee, and we wonder why we don't have any more money left. So what do? Well, we just go confiscate a bank account. Imagine having that happen to you. That's got to be very terrifying, very scary, because that's all your money. So how do you eat? What do? You don't have any money. You can't pay the rent. Well, you get foreclosed on. You can't make your car payment. Well, you get your car repossessed. You don't have any money, you can't eat, you can't go to the store, you can't go to a restaurant. What are you going to do for food? What if you've got children and they need medication? Or it's winter and they need a new coat? Or they need new shoes? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Well, there's nothing you can do. The government can take it and that's it. You just have to accept it. Just accept it. Bend over and accept it, because that's just the way it is. Well, here's what you do. Here's my solution to all this crap. Buy gold. That's what you need to do. Gold and silver. And you know it's only a matter of time before the government's going to start putting restrictions on gold and silver. You know that's coming. You know that's coming pretty damn quick. It won't take very long at all. But see, they can't take away your gold and silver with just a click of a button. But they can if you've got money in the bank. One click of one button and boom, you're bankrupt. But you know it's only a matter of time before it's going to be illegal for you to own gold and own silver. That's coming. That's coming down the pike. Wouldn't be a damn bit surprised. Well, that's about all we've got here for tonight. I want to thank everybody listening in the chat room. I want to thank my good friend Vito Esposito. He listens in archive. I know a lot of you people listen on your smartphones. God only knows what kind of absurdity we're going to talk about tomorrow, but I'm sure we're going to talk about it. And make sure you tune in next week, next Tuesday, the 7th. Rudy Orr is going to be on. You want to talk about false accusations. And you want to talk about having your life completely flipped upside down. Wow. Wait till you hear that story. You're not going to be in a good mood. And you shouldn't be. And again, this stuff can happen to anybody. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your religion, your sex, your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your friends are. If you're a human, this government is after you. And they don't care. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.